another Mornings with the Master. For Devote Ourselves to the Lord Daily with You, we are picking up with day 5 of our Redeeming Your Time devotional in the Bible app. There's a link to that in the description if you guys want to follow along. And as always, I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm also going to pick with the Devo. And also, if you missed any of the first previous 4 days, be sure to go check this out, because basically this is about 7 biblical principles for being purposeful, present, and wildly productive. Anyways, I know the guy who wrote the devotional, so I'm just kind of excited about that. Anyways, the scripture is Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, and it says this: As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you." Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The devotional says this: Now, more than ever, our world offers the illusion that we can be fully present in more than one place at a time. But it's just an illusion. You know how I know? Because we're not God. And even when God himself came to earth in human form, he traded in his godly omnipresence for the human unipresence you and I experience today. Like us today, Jesus had to deal with frequent distractions that competed for his attention. A man threw himself at Jesus' feet as he was walking. A woman touched his cloak, distracting Jesus with the knowledge that he had healed her. One time, a man literally dropped through the roof over Jesus' head as he was preaching. There were times when Jesus welcomed these distractions, but there were also times when Jesus ignored them in order to focus on the task at hand. My favorite example of this comes from Matthew 12. Given that the main point of this passage is Jesus' words about who is and who is not his family, it can be easy to miss the fascinating B story. Jesus is, quote unquote, talking to the crowd, doing the work the Father sent him to do, namely preaching the gospel. All of a sudden, his family shows up and Jesus ignores them. When Jesus was told his family was waiting outside, he didn't say, "That's all, folks. My family's here. You know the rule. God first, family second, work third." He continued teaching, though. At the moment, he was called to work, and he remained fully focused on the task at hand. Conversely, when he was with his family and friends, he was fully focused on them. In these and many other encounters in the Gospels, Jesus is reminding us that God is omnipresent, and we humans are not. When omnipresent God became flesh, Jesus embraced the human limitations of being unipresent. If Jesus couldn't be in two places at the same time, neither can we. That brings us to the 5th principle of the series: accept your unipresence. To redeem our time in the model of our Redeemer, we must accept our unipresence and focus on one important thing at a time. And this hits very close to home, which you guys will hear a lot more about that. I think that's why I've been so impacted by this devotional so far, about, you know, what's urgent versus what's important, where Tori and I feel that strain more than ever, because sometimes what's important and what's urgent gets blurred, you know, or maybe they're changing hands, because if our new baby Noah needs us, that feels urgent, but it's also important. You know what I mean? And so sometimes we're, am I supposed to clock out of work now? Because I need to move on to what's urgent, but wait a second, that's actually more important. So the reason I'm sharing that is because it is important to have a good distinction. I think we talked about it on maybe day 2 of this devotional series, but the more you know why God has you here on earth, the easier it will be for you to discern when you need to shift focus and move in the direction of where you're being called, or if you need to tell that distraction to say, "Hey, actually, hold on 1 minute, I need to finish right here." But if you don't know what you're here to do, then it'll be really confusing, to be honest with you. And I remember there was a small example of when I experienced this. This was like, I don't even know, yeah. Gosh, I want to say this is like 12 years ago. I was in one of my mentor's offices and I only get like an hour with him a month just to ask him questions. And this was like a business mentor back whenever I was studying business in undergrad. And his phone rang, and he's important, y'all. He owns businesses, like all this different stuff. And you know me, just like I was a junior in college, was like, "Oh, by the way, take it. I don't want to," you know. And he's like, no, I will give you the same undivided attention I'm going to give them when I call them back." And so if someone were to interrupt me whenever I'm talking to them, Chad, I would do the exact same thing. And that just really it impacted me enough to where I'm sharing it with thousands of people on a daily devotional years and years later. Cause like, wow, he was so present in that moment. He didn't exchange what was urgent for what's important, which is that time with me. And so I've always appreciated that. And I think just kind of wrapping all this up, accepting our limitations is one of the hardest things to do, but it's so freeing. It can almost seem like it's the opposite of freeing, like it's debilitating because you're accepting something you can't do. So it doesn't feel like you're free to go do that thing, but you're embracing the reality. You're embracing the truth that you and I are unipresent. We can't be everything to everyone. We can't please everybody. We can't do every single thing that we want to do. So how do we maximize the few things that we do get to do? I think that's the big key for me right now is how do I live so presently with God so that way I know, okay, this is where he's leading me right now, and I'm going to focus on that one thing at a time. And I think a piece of that also comes from us finding full contentment in Christ. The more content we are in him, the more glorified he'll be how we live our life. But if we're chasing all these little bits and pieces of contentment, like we're looking at life as if it's a buffet where it's like, okay, now I need to get like, I need to put like the meat on the plate. Okay, now I'm going to put some dessert here. Well, our stomachs are so empty and we're trying to gorge ourselves with the variety of life, and it's not going to satiate us because it's going to leave us wanting more the next day and more the next day and more the next day. And I can keep doing this if you want me to, by the way, and more the next day. And so I think that's why we need to feel that contentment, not just be like, oh yeah, I know I'm content in Christ. Yeah, I know. No. Like, do you know? Are you willing to say no to that relationship? Are you willing to say no to that job change? Are you willing to say no to watching that thing online you shouldn't be watching? Are you able to say no to yourself because you know you're already full? And I'm asking myself this, by the way. I just think this is such a great place for us to spend time on. Like, wait a second. Am I fully content in him? And if I am, I know he's going to be glorified in me because I'm going to be doing the will of the Father. I'm going to be so connected to him. I'm connected to the vine. I'm the branch. My life source comes from him. And then I will produce fruit for his kingdom. But if I'm running on this hamster wheel, trying to produce my own fruit for my own kingdom, that's not going to serve God and it's not going to serve my neighbor. It's only going to serve myself, which ultimately will make me sick. Pride and glory will make you sick. We're not built for pride and glory. That's God's. That's not ours. And so I think this devotional took a little left turn, but a happy distraction it was, or happy tangent it was. Anyways, I'm going to pray sign out. Lord, we just want to honor you and worship you because you are God. Lord, would you help us realize that you are our portion. Our cup is overflowing. Lord, take the stresses that we have right now and make them wash away from all the overflow that you've given us. Help us to not put our worth and our contentment and our happiness and our goal in physical things or people or circumstances, God. Help us just to receive more of you. There's more of you than we could ever deserve or ever take in, Lord. We want to honor you. And the best way to do that is just to look at you and say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, thank you for removing the pressure that life brings when we are searching for meaning. We're searching for feeling. We're searching for all those things. And we find all of that inside of you, Lord. We love you and we pray in your son's name. Amen. Well, amen, y'all. Now's that perfect time to break out the worship music, break out the journal, and continue pressing to Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece, and don't forget that we love you. We love you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Chip, chip, cheerio.